Today, we conclude our series on citizens of heaven and residents of earth. As Christians, our first allegiance is to God. We are subjects of the God Most High and called to live according to the laws and the commandments laid out in the Bible. However, for you and I, we live here in this place on earth, and our task is to help in ushering in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The ways that we live in the mundane and the spectacular deeply matter to that task of living as if heaven was already here on earth. So imagine the spectacular of this day, of the Pentecost day, where the disciples and the apostles were gathered for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Pentecost, in the Jewish tradition, celebrates the giving of the Torah 50 days after Exodus. The Jews were gathered from the known world in Jerusalem, as they did three times a year. The festival was expected, was familiar. They knew what hymns were sung, the Psalms on the way up and the Psalms on the way down, exactly how this would play out. When all of a sudden, there was something very different that occurred. Of those who gathered, there was wind and there was fire, but from where? There were Jews all over the world, but it was these backwater Galilean fishermen who were speaking in languages they couldn't possibly have learned. It was tongues of fire resting on their heads. Great image of the kids sitting up here with their tongues of fire on their heads. And winds that rushed and filled the place. The Holy Spirit was making God's presence known, and people were noticing. The Holy Spirit, described as flames of fire on heads and in hearts, the flames that brought gifts and languages, each according to the Spirit, so that those who didn't yet know God or experience Jesus would, through the apostles on that day. The Holy Spirit, also described as a mighty wind, blowing change and filling the house. Now, when we think about wind, we know that wind causes air from one atmospheric pressure to another. Wind is movement. Wind is change. With wind, there is no static, there is no same. With wind, there is no, it's always been this way, and it will always stay this way. The Holy Spirit is not about maintaining order. It's about sustaining life. We also heard in the passage Becky read so well for us with all those lovely locations in Asia, we also heard about prophecy. Did you catch it? When you and I tend to hear about prophets, we think about forward-looking and what's going to happen in your crystal ball into the future. But in biblical terms, a prophet is one who is a truth teller, particularly one who speaks truth to power. It is the gifting of some, Peter says very clearly, as he explains why the familiar festival is changing on that day. The incredible, the spectacular, almost like a special effects reel from an old movie. But better than that, it was God's very presence. It was a theophany, the very presence of God with God's people through the Holy Spirit. Now, up until this point, the Holy Spirit hasn't made a lot of public appearances. Doesn't mean it's the first time we heard about the Holy Spirit, but one of the first public appearances. And certainly even today, we've been a little confused about who or what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit inspires and confirms, comforts and convicts, recalls and counsels. I think in our popular culture, we've imagined the Holy Spirit a bit like Jiminy Cricket to our Pinocchio. If we lie or deviate from the truth a little bit, the Holy Spirit comes along and tiss, 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 tiss in our conscience. We've imagined the Holy Spirit like this. If we lose our way or feel down, the Holy Spirit brings out our best selves, comforts us in our times of need. And while this hints at some of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, the analogy shifts the power and domesticates the Holy Spirit. We've missed that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, very much God. God, the Creator's purposes are known to us through the actions of the Holy Spirit. God's purposes for us, which are always good, always stretching us, always calling us into the person God has called us to be. However, God is not merely hoping that one day we'll get the idea to follow God somewhere along the path. The role of the Holy Spirit is to urge us in to that following and into that calling. I have in my own mind that the Holy Spirit is tenacious, like a mosquito bite that you've just begun to notice. You know, the kind that you just kind of casually scratch a little bit, try to avoid and not touch too much until you have to scratch it a bit more, and the itch is not satisfied until you've scratched and it opens up. I think the Holy Spirit works on us in this same kind of a way. An idea that's planted in our mind or our heart, and we start to play around with the idea and then ignore it for a little while because it's uncomfortable for us. The idea that we begin to hear in other people around us and even things we've seen or read. The idea that works on us until we take it up and fully explore what God is calling us to do. The Holy Spirit comes and stays, works within us, molding and changing us, sometimes in a slow process and sometimes very quickly, but always moving with us. I think of the idea of a tenacious Holy Spirit this week. As a United Methodist Church, perhaps we've been a people in need of the Holy Spirit this week. Every 4 years, our general conference convenes for the purpose of making decisions for the whole body. We are the only Protestant denomination that is truly worldwide. And we're the only worldwide denomination where clergy and laity make decisions together. Starting last Tuesday, 864 delegates from all around the world, imagine how many languages that is real quickly, gathered in Portland, Oregon, for the purpose of discerning how is God calling us to be the church right now. We, as a denomination, are discerning some of the greatest challenges of our generation, even in the midst of difference and distinction. Like the early church on the day of Pentecost, we're comprised of different languages, traditions, and expectations. We're united in following one God who prayerfully moves among us through the Holy Spirit and walks among us through Jesus. But I wonder if it isn't sometimes the church that is one of the most challenging places to feel the winds of the Holy Spirit blow. I invite you to keep General Conference in your prayers. They'll continue meeting through May 20th and are seeking God's way in the midst of such challenges. I also bring this up because traditionally, the United Methodist Church and the American political experience are remarkably parallel. Those in a new members class have heard me say that the American democracy and the United Methodist Church grew up next to one another. In the midst of such fledgling democracy, figured out institutions, and in the midst of a new denomination, figured out how to live together in difference. They couldn't help but influence and reflect one another's institutions. This doesn't, of course, mean that you and I are restricted to only the wisdom of our political institutions, but it does mean we see some discontent in both of those experiences. You and I, however, have some additional hope to hang on to. As people who have known Pentecost, we're no longer surprised when the Holy Spirit moves among us and changes us. The church that used to prohibit women from speaking in the church now celebrates female bishops. United Methodist bishops worldwide from General Conference yesterday. The church that used to prohibit women from speaking celebrates our Bishop Peggy Johnson, our district superintendent Dawn Taylor Storm, and the leader of lay ministries in our conference, Judy Enninger, all out leading in here and beyond. The church that used to force African American churches to have their own separate administrative structure celebrates the 50th anniversary of full integration of the old Delaware Conference. We have known, as the church, the movement of the Holy Spirit convicting and blowing us towards God's way. I wonder this morning, have you known that power and movement of the Holy Spirit in your life as well? Certainly, the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide, but you and I are not always in the season of needing comfort or gentle guidance. In times of division, in times of angst, we turn to a God who is already moving among us, a God who is calling us to change and grow, to live as the redeemed and the rescued in the world, so that others might do so as well, instead of the pain-filled and broken ways of our world. When we listen to the pain in our hearts from those who are around us, we know the Holy Spirit is moving. In the same way, you can look at a window and tell the wind is moving because of the curtains that flutter. We know the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives because our minds have ideas that we're a little uncomfortable with and need to pray a bit about. Our stomachs hold a bit of flutter as we imagine what God's calling us to do next. Our hearts fill to the top and almost burst with how God might be using even us for what comes next. My friends, on this Pentecost morning, we hear the detractors the same as they did that first Pentecost Day. Are the babbling apostles drunk? Have they lost their mind? They asked Peter. And like Peter, we respond with fear and trembling, imagining we're not drunk here at 11 o'clock in the morning, but rather spirit-led and spirit-seeking, as we take on the real possibility that with God's way, we might just be inspired to change our ideas or our actions, our beliefs or our traditions, so they would be more in line with God's way and help us as we usher in God's kingdom here on earth. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.